If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Talking with Kemi from Oceans of Slumber, going to be playing at the Crocodile on Tuesday. Great venue. I've been there a few times since the remodel, and the sound is incredible. The visuals are great. It's going to be coming up Tuesday, December 13th. Tickets are on sale now. They have a new album called Starlight and Ash. Incredible album. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I don't know why I said us. It's just me. Thank you for joining me.
Absolutely.
So you're in Texas right now. You got a big coat on. People aren't really seeing the visuals if they're just listening, but it's sunny. So it's sunny but cold, right?
Yes, it's very crispy morning. It's about 46 degrees. I'm dramatic because I like to be really warm. So
sure,
maybe other people would wear less, but I gotta keep my head and throat warm. But I needed sunlight. I was like, yeah.
Are you how's your morning routine? Are you a morning person? Or are you not at all?
Well, like I was until the tour started, and now I barely wake up before 10, and I think it's so early, and it's not. It'll be like 10:30, 11, but you know, at the late night, so I'm a middle of the day person. Not good at either one.
Are you someone who requires a couple cups of coffee to get started, or are you a tea person, or just no caffeine?
I'm a tea person right now. Delbert and I haven't been doing caffeine or alcohol for a few months. He's cool. Having like systemic issues and stuff. And so in solidarity, and I mostly just like drinking coffee and stuff with him, and I just loiter until I wake up enough to be productive.
Well, I certainly commend you. I would probably have a meltdown if I was going off of coffee, but I guess it's possible. I don't know. So your show coming up on Tuesday, if people have never heard Oceans of Slumber and this is the first time it's popping up on their podcast feed or listening to this on the show, I have to say her voice, and I'm not going to give any kind of like, best voice in metal. I'm going to say one of the best voices in just music. Absolutely incredible, just powerful voice. The band is incredible. Progressive metal. I'm not going to put it in that box, like just say, oh, it's prog metal band. It's progressive-ish, but it's so much more. But your voice just shines on this new album. When did you start singing? Were you in choir as a child, or did you just, when did you discover you have this like powerful, powerful voice?
I grew up, in a pretty musical household.
Awesome.
I was in and out of choir throughout school. Up until about college, then I went to a Baptist university and they had a really beautiful choir. And I've always loved, Southern Baptist style singing and everything. And so I dabbled in that for a little bit, but it just was kind of something I always had and hid a little bit, I guess. It's like, I love to sing. I would sing all the time and sing at home, sing with my mom, but I didn't really showcase it or put it out there. Even in choir, I never did like a solo part or something.
Sure.
And so it was only in like Hidden Glances that I kind of shared it with people up until finally, like in my early 20s, I was like, I want to be in a band. Like, I want to be on stage. I want to see how that feels. I want more kind of power behind my voice, and I want to share, you know, I have a lot of writing. Like, second to my love of singing is writing. And so I was like, I want to see if this, you know, is something possible. And so once I met Dauber and got into Oceans, it all just started moving so fast and came together. And now, you know, I get to practice more, obviously.
Yeah.
And then I get to hear myself in a lot of different modes, from live to studio to rehearsal. And so it's just something that makes me happy. And that, I guess, because I started singing so young, something like I can just feel easy to feel good at, mm-hmm. which is always nice to just have something like you don't struggle with. So that's what I just kind of came into it.
And you found you found your voice. Your voice is always there, but it sounds like you gained a bunch of confidence. And it takes a lot of, you know, confidence to get up there and do that. You know, that's intense.
Yeah. No, I think that's like most accurate. It was something I liked to do, but it took finding that confidence for sure to like share it with other people. So now I'm just forcing it on everyone.
Yeah. So you said you grew up in like a musical household. What kind of records were playing in the house? Was it like you said, like Baptist kind of like gospel music, or was it all kinds of stuff?
It was all kinds of stuff, but it was like neither of my parents are Baptist, but being from Texas,
yeah,
every religion everywhere always lurking, mm-hmm. and so my mom and dad were religious. They weren't Baptists. My mom's a Jehovah's Witness now, but in the early years before she was that, it was like a lot of Motown,
sure,
a lot of like jazz and soul and R&B. So like Luther Vandross and Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston, like these awesome, incredible iconic, you know, like voices, yeah, are what I'm like, oh, that's what people are supposed to sound like. And so that's what I grew up like singing along to and thinking of as the pinnacle of what to be. And so, you know, there's definitely an underestimation of like ear training kids. It's like what you expose them to is what they'll kind of ingrain as,
yeah,
ability. And then my mom can sing really well too. And so I was just like, yeah, everyone can sing well. That when I got a little older and go to people's houses and they sing off key or something, and I'm like, well, you're doing that on purpose. Like,
yeah,
if you can talk normal, you can sing normal. But that's obviously, it's not always the case.
You're like, wait, you're not a great vocalist? You can't sing like me? What's going on here? Come on. I know you can do it. Just try.
yeah, I'm a terrible teacher. It's all, do it like this. What? Like, just, you know, make the sound.
Yeah. Everyone's great like me. So what was your first exposure to like heavy rock or, you know, kind of rock music? You know, it sounds like you kind of heard some like pop and R&B and some stuff like that, but growing up and stuff. But what was your first exposure to like rock music? Was it when you were a little older?
It was like middle school, high school, and cool, the grunge era kind of.
Oh, yeah. We're a Seattle rock radio station, so I'm very familiar.
And that to this day, you know, probably because it was that foundational music that it's like you hit an age where you start to explore music, and then you feel like, well, I found this band myself, and yeah, so then you have like that kind of special relationship with it. So like Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, like it was so, it still had such a emotional, like soulful kind of singing that was just so different from the crooners and smooth kind of voices I'd grown up with. But it still just had that emotive quality that drew me to it, with the, you know, guitar and the lifestyle and just the imagery of that, like how other people were processing drama and, or trauma and like, their angst and anger and these just, you know, pretty turbulent, harsh experiences.
Yeah.
And so from there, it was like the gateway drug to heavier and heavier. And like, where does it go next? You know? And
yeah,
so that was kind of what got me into realizing that I could put my voice over other things, and that there was this big wide world of all this music to explore.
Awesome. Well, you know, I was just talking about Soundgarden the other night. It came up in a conversation, and I made the statement. I said, like, something I noticed recently is that, you know, if that band had any other vocalist, it might even go into like realm of like you know, doom metal. Like, it's so heavy that it's like almost doom metal, but with the Chris Cornell just soaring over it, it changes it so much. So there's so many elements of that band, like, because his voice is so, you know, iconic and everything, you don't realize how freaking heavy Black Hole Sun really is. It's like,
yeah,
dirgy.
Absolutely. And his voice is so emotive, but it has this like brightness that it still adds that keeps you from, yeah, like immersing yourself too far into like that same feeling of like doom.
Yeah.
But that's what I love. I'm like, I need a little bit of hopefulness or a little bit of that energy. Sure. And then you couple it with the heaviness and just so satisfying. Like still probably the most played genre that I like go back to. So after that, it was, you know, it's mainstream like metal. Which now that I've been like introduced to grindcore and death metal and everything, and like, you know, you have Korn and Slipknot and all that, and I'm like, they're heavy and they change, and it's like, it's very different. They're like, I feel like they're pretty mainstream to having something like Deicide or Cannibal Corpse or whatever. You're like, very different.
It's very heavy. I can't lie. I had Korn pinups from Hit Parader on my walls as a kid. So, you know. I like
big.
Absolutely. So I guess, you know, just who are some of your inspirations, is like, you can listen to and get inspired as a singer now. It doesn't even have to be rock. It can be any kind of, you know, what are some things that inspire you musically?
I really love like Dax Riggs, his Ends Mouth, or Agents of Oblivion. Like, if I'm feeling kind of in a rut, that's like my go-to album to just kind of be swallowed up in and get that dreamy, because it's like it's always like taking a pill to me. What pill? What drug? I don't know, but it's like, it's just something that satisfies and swirls and like kind of gets my creativity going. Exploring Bjork and everything that she is just as a person and artist, and she's like an explosion of creativity.
Oh yeah.
It's always something. And her interviews are really intense and like really neat to just see someone that seems like they're so detached from other people's influences to have made something so entirely their own. Like, that's really cool. Just to try it on different perspective, because it's like, I'm nothing like the artist that like stylistic or anything.
Sure.
Wrap my head around being like Bjork, so just to like look at someone that is just so much art. And then like film and cinema and really heavy, dark or expansive like movies, like the ones that hold that like the quiet space in a scene, you know. Yeah. And it's a zoom in on an eye and a single tear kind of thing, and you're like, wow, profound.
What's the last movie you saw that you loved? What's the last movie you saw that you loved?
I can't remember. It's a German movie, and it was recently dubbed. It came out on Netflix, and it's about World War I. I don't think it's just like a date or like call it like 19 something, but I can't remember the name of it. But it chronicles these five young people that are kind of influenced into joining the German army. And it's trench warfare. It's incredibly hard, and it's towards the end of the war. And so they're being told like, Germany's winning, when Germany was really losing terribly. And so they go out there, and within, you know, the few months that they're out there, they're just getting killed one by one in these, you know, terribly heinous ways.
Yeah.
And then you have like the main character that you're following along, and you think he's going to make it, and he doesn't, and then it's like the end, and you're all cool, like, fuck.
You're like, what? So, where's the happy ending? Nope, none.
Yeah, it was so intense, and it's such just a real look at what people believed and the valor of men and the true faces of like war, because they were like literally minutes away from the ceasefire, and he's in a standoff with the French soldier. And you can both see like they don't want to fight anymore, and they're like, we don't have to do this.
Yeah.
But then another soldier like comes out of nowhere, just rampaging, you know, and that's it. It's like, you're done. That was your life. It's so intense. But the cinematography was beautiful. Like, they, you know, they found real, they were in the real settings, the real fields, the real, like, locations. And it just had that kind of color wash. I don't know, like, the proper term, but, like, how they put, like, the, not a filter, but, like, the colors that they pull. So, like, those rich autumn tones. And then the score was really great, but it left these long moments of silence where you could hear just, like, the actual sounds of, like, outdoors. And it was just really beautiful and really profound. It's like, I like movies that leave me with a lot to think about and take you so deeply into somebody else's experience. Because then, you know, we are in an age where we get a lot of opinions from each other, but I don't feel like we're really learning from each other. And so movies like that, I feel like, help you see different perspectives.
Is it a recent film?
Yeah.
I got to look it up.
I'm pretty sure we watched it on Netflix, but yeah, it's World War I. If Dauber was awake, I'd ask him. He's the good memory. I can never remember anything. I'm like, I had this sweater on, and they're like, it's not helping at all.
No worries. I'm going to look it up either way. The show is coming up on Tuesday, December 13th. Tickets are on sale. It's with Soen and Oceans of Slumber, Cammy's band. This will be my first time seeing your band. I love the new album, Starlight and Ash. So happy to see you guys and check you guys out live. The album's incredible. My last question for you, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it.
Oh, I love this. It's not my favorite scar, but it reminds me of a youthful, carefree time. My brother and I would go to Chicago every summer to stay with my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And we were playing at like a hot Chicago evening, like a general suburban like neighborhood. They had like a big stone house and a big porch. It was one of the few days where we went to play with like the other neighborhood kids.
Yeah.
And so we were running around this big free for all like tag. And I ran into this like iron angel that was, cause the gates there are like kind of low.
Yeah.
And so we're running through the yard and we're running into like a neighbor kid's yard. And they had like these ornate metal angels on the front. Wow. And the wing cut, like stabbed me in my rib, like on my like side. And it started like bleeding down, and I ran back to my grandpa's house, and I was like, oh no. And like, my mom wasn't home, and he's like super old school, you know, like I have the kids. So he takes just straight rubbing alcohol and sprays it on my side. And I'm like, I felt like I got shot. I was just screaming. Like, I go down, I was like, oh my God. And I was done the rest of the day. Like, it hurt forever, I felt like. And it made a scar, because like, that's what happens when you traumatically clean things with alcohol. But it was a really fun day up to that. He felt really bad. He was just trying his best, you know. He's like, yeah, I don't know, this is what I clean deep wounds with.
Yeah.
And so he gave me ice cream and got me White Castle the rest of the day, and we watched TV. And so while it was like traumatic, we didn't spend a lot of time just one-on-one like that. And so it was kind of, I remember it kind of fondly, even though I had to get tortured first.
I gotta say, I mean, metal vocalists sliced by an angel. Like, we all know Touched by an Angel, the television show. That is literally like a death metal lyric right there. Sliced by an angel. That's iconic. Awesome. Wow. Great story. Thank you so much for taking the time, Cammy. And we're going to see you on Tuesday night at the Crocodile. Any final words for anyone with Metal Shop?
I hope you enjoy it. We're trying something a little bit different. It's a little bit more of an intimate set, but the intensity is still there. So, you know, we're always hanging out at the shows. Come say hi, and I can't wait till we see everybody there.
Right on.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.